Heal Your Wounds, episode
8.
Is it?
Yeah.
Episode 8.
Hateful 8.
Hateful 8, but I don't hate this episode.
Oh.
What a fantastic piece of broadcasting that was. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Heal Your Wounds. I'm your host, Sean McLaughlin. If you've not listened before, you may recognize me from my appearances on Russell Howard's Stand Up Central, Iceland Breaks It Stage Left. I've also been on Live at the Comedy Store and Funny Rotten Scoundrels on a little network called London Live. What do you think of that, Elliot, my co-host and friend?
Hello. Yeah, I think that's great that you've got a lot of things you can be proud of. And we're all proud of you, the listeners of this show.
The wounded.
The wounded are gathering around and thinking, oh, that's our guy.
That's our boy.
He's our champion.
Hot day today, Elliot.
Very hot today, Sean.
Too hot. You're wearing t-shirt and shorts.
I am, and I haven't even been outside.
I'm not wearing either.
I just got my pale gams out.
Gowns?
Gams.
Gams?
Gams.
Gams?
Gams.
What do you mean by that?
Legs.
Gams?
Gams. I think it means gams, doesn't it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Gams. I got my gams out. My legs.
Your gams?
Gams.
I've never heard this expression.
I think it's a 1920s American expression.
Oh, cool. Oh, right. In that case, it's definitely right that you made that.
Oh, it's just the wrong era for that.
It's the wrong era and place.
I'm too far forward. You had a good week, Shawnee.
Imagine if you were a time traveller. What a waste. What a waste of time travel if you were a time traveller. What a fucking... Where would you go? Oh, I'm going to go back in time and buy the Corals' first album again.
The Corals isn't Dreaming of You.
Yeah.
Have they got any other... Have they got an album?
Yeah, they've got loads of albums. They've got a great career. I've got that album. That's their first one.
Is that your first album?
No.
Oh.
My first album, I was given it when I was... Well, I don't know how old would I have been. 11? Austin Powers 2 Spy Who Shagged Me soundtrack.
Wonderful. I love when it's something weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. It contains a Dr. Evil rap that I'm sure as an 11-year-old I thought was very funny. Mm. But also contains Madonna, Beautiful Stranger. Great song.
Yep.
Flaming Lips, Buggin', got me into the Flaming Lips.
The whole Austin Powers soundtrack for the whole trilogy is pretty
yeah, smashing. They're pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That's something Mike Myers never lost his never lost his eye for, was a good tune. Or his ear, I suppose.
Yeah.
A good song.
Yeah.
Lost his eye for everything else in terms of filmmaking, though.
Oh.
What do you mean?
I'm just very sad. I feel sad about Mike Myers sometimes.
Do you think we should try and get him on this show?
Yeah. I think we'll definitely come on now.
Mike Myers, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk about what it was like to be in So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah. I'd love to get Michael Myers on the show.
No, but Mike Myers was in that film.
Can we have Mike Myers and Michael Myers?
Who's Michael Myers?
He's the killer in Halloween.
How does he dress? Has he got a hat?
He's got a human mask on. He's got like a white face mask.
Oh, it's like a hockey mask.
No, that's Jason Voorhees.
Which one? Oh, is he the one with all the long things like Edward Scissorhands, like hands?
No, it's Freddy Cronenberg.
Freddy Krueger?
Yeah.
I don't watch horror films. I get scared by them too much.
Oh, yeah, we've talked about this, haven't we?
Have we?
Yeah.
On the podcast?
Only a little bit, only in passing. We never really delved into why you can't separate reality from fiction.
I mean, that's you've perceived that.
How many have you watched?
Horror films.
What was the last one you actually watched?
I watched one probably 18 months ago with my sister.
What was it?
Blair Witch Project.
Well, the first one.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Yeah.
And you're scared.
Of course I was scared. Are you fucking kidding me? Those poor bastards are out there in the woods.
I suppose that one.
It's the most scary shit I've ever seen in my entire fucking life.
But it's not real. But I suppose that one is more ingrained in reality than normal ones are. So maybe
it doesn't matter if they're real.
Maybe you should watch an actual just poor one, like Leprechaun.
No,
I used to watch Child's Play
on sleepovers. Is that a horror film, Child's Play?
Yeah.
What horror films do you like? Are you into them?
Yeah, I used to have periods of just getting into
it.
I used to have periods, and then it would stress me out so much I had to watch a film to calm down. And I'd often get into different series, and I'd get obsessed with one series at a time. So I'd be like Final Destination, and then Saw, and then Scream.
Screams are good.
What about like slashes? Slashes, all right.
Well, that's it. Scream is like a slasher, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't really know the difference. Basically, I don't like any of them.
Blah, blah.
No, thank you. Listeners, I don't like the horror, okay?
Stop sending us horror DVDs.
Stop sending me.
Start sending us money.
Start sending us porn.
Porn and money, or porn we can swap for money when we're done with it.
We can swap anything for money.
What?
This is a capitalist system. We can swap anything for money.
Can we eBay our porn?
We can eBay our porn.
Oh, crud, man.
Did you say crud?
Yeah, what if I've ruined the porn?
Oh, crud, man. I don't think you know how to use that phrase.
Oh, flipping G Willikers, sir.
Jiminy Christmas. We can sell our porno. A lot of stuff. We are legally obliged to say that...
Yeah, we need to...
Some of the things that we talk about are just alleged.
Everything where we say, oh... Every time we mention a well-known person's name, whatever we're saying about them is alleged.
Yes.
Which
yes.
means we can keep in what we said.
Anyway, good episode today.
Yes.
Well, anyway, good episode today. We make accusations, they're not founded.
They're all alleged.
They're all alleged.
Ian Smith and Stuart Lawless today, Sean.
Very funny people. Listen out. God bless.
Bye-bye. Well, I went to the show with you the other night. I was there with you. We held each other tight. You looked into my eyes and said, I'm leaving you. You walked away and left me wondering, what am I to do? Ticket stub, ticket stub. That's all that's left of our love.
Ahoy! We're here! Our guests already filled with doubt.
Oh, no.
Elliot is alongside me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we are going to have a heck of a show for you today. I've got two of my favourite people, two old friends, two dear friends, a couple of white boys, thank God. First off the bat, we got my good friend Stuart Lawless. Hey, Stu.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay.
You're a filmmaker.
Ooh.
Did you not know that? Is that the first you're hearing of it?
I didn't expect a, sort of like a CV listing.
Well, what else would filmmaker, comedian?
Goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm. For a Christian rock band?
Christian football team.
Oh, yeah.
Why would a Christian rock band have a goalkeeper?
Just I don't know. Why
a lot of bottles thrown at him.
Well, exactly. That's our next guest who we'll introduce it in a bit.
Not yet.
Evidently, he's got problems with religion and goalkeepers. What's your favourite save?
Favourite save? Hugo Lloris did one against Borussia Dortmund this year, which was particularly impressive.
Yeah? Do you want to act it out for us?
No, I don't. Also, Paul Robinson did one for Leeds against Barcelona in the Champions League in like 2002. It was like a double save. It was incredible.
It was a double save. Oh, well, the other guest looks pretty pissed off about that one. We were just talking about Paul Robinson with him, actually. Ian Smith is here.
Hello. Oh, what? So Stuart gets a big list of all his achievements. That's great. Ian Smith's here.
Well, all right. Well, what comedian, podcaster as well.
Well, yeah, I guess.
What do you mean you guess?
You record it every week.
You do it every week. It's a big hit, right?
Not every week, no.
No.
It's more
not a big hit every week.
No. It's a big hit intermittently.
How often do you record your podcast? What is the show?
I do a football podcast.
And don't you sound excited?
Well, I do a football podcast. You won't believe this shit. It's me, Jimmy Bullard, Rob Beckett, all in the same room. We've got guests.
What's it called?
The Magic Sponge.
Oh, shit. That's what we were going to call our next our sort of sideline podcast.
Our spin-off one.
Yeah, our spin-off, The Magic Sponge. Yeah. Yeah, I guess we'll just stick with Big Dick Podcast. Anyway, Paul Robinson. You met Paul Robinson.
Yeah.
In the Edinburgh Fringe. What was that like? Paul Robinson, former England goalkeeper. And alcoholic?
Whoa.
Was he?
That's defamatory.
Well, yeah. It's not defamatory. He was pretty pissed up when he was at the Fringe, though.
Okay. Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's an alcoholic.
Well, I don't know the difference.
If we take out what you meant by alcoholic, you meant anyone who's ever had a drink.
That's not what I meant at all.
Okay, well, I'm trying to help you here.
On the record, I am saying he has a drinking problem.
He was pissed at the Fringe, yep. So he's an alcoholic. That means every comedian's an alcoholic.
Yep. What was it like when you met Paul Robinson?
It was fine. I wasn't like blown away by him. As in, like,
how could you? What would he have done? He's already
showing you his hands.
No, I mean, you know what I mean. I wasn't like, holy shit, it's Paul Robinson.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was just very nice. He just bought us lots of drinks and then did some quite like low-level football banter, such as calling us gay for not drinking them quick enough and stuff like that.
The alcoholic's burden. Nah, yeah. Never mind. Am I allowed to call him an alcoholic, Elliot? Is this a fine?
I'll allow it.
Yeah, you'll allow it. You didn't even know who we're talking about. That's fine. Norway's another thing we were talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to Norway?
I'm going to go to Norway.
What are you going to go see?
The national play.
Now, listener, you should know, when he says he's seeing the national play, what he means is he is seeing the band The National, yeah, play
their instruments.
Me and Ian spent 3 minutes in a conversation with him thinking that he was seeing the Norwegian national play.
The one play they've got.
They've got a play that's the national play.
One.
Yeah, what, we've got one, haven't we?
What, an official national play?
Yeah.
What is it?
Oh, it's just God Save the Queen, but with a bit more actions, like...
More explosions.
Yeah.
Do you mean British. We Will Rock You?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a musical We Will Rock You.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to go watch the English play.
The Danish play.
The Danish play. The Scottish play, I think. Sorry.
Well.
There's one set.
You say Macbeth, I say Hamlet.
Cool. Well, we're both wrong. It's the key thing.
Have you seen that traditional Norwegian dance where a woman's got a hat on the end of a stick and a man just runs in circles trying to kick it off?
Wait, what did you... Can you say that again?
There's a Norwegian traditional dance where a woman has a hat on the end of a stick and then a man just does a bit of Cossack dancing and then every now and then tries to kick that out of the stick. And sometimes they'll do a little tease where they'll put the stick really high and the guy sort of looks at it and then shakes his head and everyone laughs. It's incredible. It's on YouTube. Google it on YouTube.
It doesn't really sound like a dance to me. It sounds like a game.
It is a dance.
Sounds like the sort of thing someone would put about the 40-minute mark of a show to try and keep everyone interested.
Yeah, it sounds like a very cynical ploy from a comedian who knows they're a few weeks from Edinburgh. And
Yeah. Basically, I've been ordering sticks and hats.
And they mention about 2 minutes into the show about what their great ambition is to kick a hat off a stick.
So you're gonna Norway.
Norway.
To watch the national play.
To watch the national play.
Oh, you ever been to Norway before?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's your favourite? You've been to all of it?
What of it, I said.
Oh, right. Nothing. I didn't mean anything, mate.
I flew into Bergen, and then I drove across to Oslo, and I stayed, and I kayaked a fjord.
You kayaked a fjord?
I kayaked a fjord.
Oh.
And when we went, it was me and three lads, and we went there, and we stayed in a nice log cabin. And then we went and hired some
kind
kayaks.
Of a gay story so far. Carry on.
Hear me out. And they said, do you want a double kayak or a single kayak? And two of my friends were like, oh, we'll get the double. And me and my other friend were like, what? No, we'll have single kayaks. We're not that sort.
Yeah, yeah.
And then about 5 minutes into the kayaking, we were like, oh, we really wish we took a double kayak because it is hard to kayak. It's really hard to kayak. And
what do you mean it's hard though? Because I just sat down and then paddling.
Yeah, but you're paddling against the current. So if you stop current, you stop paddling around for a second.
It's like I've always said, you know, I mean, Paul Robinson may hate the gays, but they know how to kayak. they know how to kayak.
You've always said that as well.
I've always said that.
It's only really had good context like now.
It's a credo of mine.
Oh, yeah.
You've been to Norway. I've been to
Norway. Hang on, I got an end to this kayak story.
Oh, God, are you serious?
Yeah. So it got to a point where my arms, my friend who went single kayak, bigger arms. All boys got big arms. So he was fine.
It's very ambitious that you're calling this a story.
No,
and
like
they
this.
Said, shall we head to the corner there? And like the fjord sort of turned the corner. And I was like, I'm done. So I just, you know, kayaked to the shore. They went up to the corner. Dolphins came up and swam around their kayaks. Dolphins.
That's a really sad story. I'd be really pissed off if I missed
dolphins. Well, so you missed all the dolphins.
So I missed all the dolphins. Yeah. And my friend who was in the solo kayak was absolutely amazed by it until another friend said that he'd watched a show called When Dolphins Attack. And then they got really scared and kayaked away.
Like, that is when and not if.
When
the dolphins. Inevitable happens. That's why they're so friendly to lure you into a false sense of security.
On a long enough timeline.
Dolphins.
I've never seen a dolphin. That's quite a romantic thing.
Yeah.
I'd love to have seen a dolphin. Either by kayak or by foot.
Yeah.
By foot inland.
Yeah,
that's not as romantic. Like,
you can see some kite. You can see some dolphins by foot. I'm sure.
A land dolphin.
Yeah. You ever seen a dolphin?
A corgi is a bit like. Have you shaved a corgi? I reckon that'd look.
If I shaved a corgi, it would look like a dolphin.
Yeah. If you shaved.
If I shaved one.
I feel like you'd have a
How
good
long would it be before someone called the police?
I'll be a front page of Chort, all that.
But hang on, if you've got an animal, like can you shave it?
If you're the legal guardian of the animal,
can you shave it? If you've got a dog, any dog, because I saw a picture on Facebook of someone, as somebody like shaved like a husky or a German shepherd, like a long-haired dog, but left its head, and it was just like a tiny body with a huge head, and it was undeniably very funny, but there was a debate about whether that was cruel or not. But I think if it's your dog, you pay your money, you give it food, you do what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Within reason, terms of shaving, you do what you want.
I mean, but do you feel the same way about children?
Well, this bike is pissing me off. If you can hear it, if you can't.
They can't. Oh, well, they can't. Oh, by the way, we're recording this.
Luke, I'm absolutely
we're recording this at the velodrome.
Just every now and then, I'm going, this bike's pissing me off. Well, you've said children, let me put to you, would you do it to a sheep? Absolutely, you do it to a sheep.
Do you think they're comparable, sheep and children?
What? Do you think a dog and a child is comparable? You're fucking up your own argument here, mate. Fucking hell.
The problem is here is what it's the thing that people use in arguments, like a false equivalency.
Yes.
And so you're trying to win the argument by doing a false equivalency.
But so is he.
So you're trying to get us to agree something.
He said,
would you shave a kid?
I said, would you shave a kid?
One, kids don't have any hair. And two...
What do you mean kids don't have any hair? If you're 8 years old, you have hair.
Well, yeah, but you can shave their head, but it's not as if it's going to make a huge difference to them.
Make a pretty big difference,
like
I think.
Dog, it's you're fundamentally changing
the way they look.
Increase
their speed in the water.
We're back, part two. Elliot, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
It was a bit of a roller coaster there with the first half, wasn't
it? Crazy.
Bit crazy. Do you think they've settled down a bit?
No, but I think that's what makes good audio content.
Okay,
so we're going to be fine.
That's what we're all about, is content.
Can I say, at the start, Elliot, you said to us, a fist.
Mm-hmm.
And you were about half a fist with your mic.
I've got little fists.
Tiny little fists.
I'm a little child boy.
I don't think our audience are going to have any idea what the fuck you just said.
So the advice at the start was, hold the mic and then have it one fist away from your mouth.
I would say even mic would be too much of a technical term for some of our listeners.
Oh,
mic is short for microphone.
Microphone, yeah.
Do you think they know what microphones are?
So the thing that records my voice to allow you to listen to it right.
And
are they really this thick?
My audience is, are.
A fist is harder, if anything, to explain, because it's like you look at your hand and that's not a fist. But if just as moving your fingers about and it becomes a fist, but you've got to move them in quite a particular way.
Imagine your hand got scared.
Yeah.
That's a fist.
Like
if you're playing rock, paper, scissors, you know when it's rock, but permanently fist. That's a fist.
Well, hang on a second, though. But then wouldn't it be rock, fist, scissors? No, fist, paper, scissors.
Well, the whole game is bullshit anyway, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. You don't like the game.
But paper and scissors are both just your hand anyway.
Yeah, it should be fist, flat hand, flicking the bird.
That's not the bird. The bird is one finger.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
You think two fingers is the bird.
Have you been playing
you've
it
been
wrong
making an idiot of yourself in front of Jimmy Bullard.
I've been calling all my shows flicking the bird. So what's that then? Flicking the V's, I guess?
Yeah, flicking the V's and flicking the bird.
But where's that bird?
It's the bird. I don't know. It's a bird, isn't it? Middle finger. It's a bird.
But why is it a bird?
It looks like a bird.
It looks like a bird. Are you trying to tell me?
I'm Googling flicking the bird.
Oh don't Google
God, don't
flip
make it the
bird.
Google show.
All right, then I'll Bing it.
Speaking of Bing, you're getting married.
Who is Sean?
Ian.
There we go.
Smith.
Yeah.
I like Elliot.
You, what do you mean you like Elliot? Classy. Class act.
Just saw it. Absolute class act. Saw you pointing at Ian and just went, hang on.
That's not podcast
Well, to be fair, I thought Ian was going to respond earlier than he did. I said, you're getting married. I thought Ian was going to go, yes. I didn't think he'd just sit there comatose.
I'm just taking it all in.
Taking it all in, my boy. You're getting married. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you set a date?
Yes.
And what is it?
The 20th of October, 2018.
2018? Yeah. Okay, well, this podcast will be released after that, so no other listeners can come.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, let's talk through this. I mean, Stu, you're not a married man.
No.
You're in a relationship. How do you, Ian, how did you propose? Let's start there.
I'm free, by the way. I just checked.
Oh, good, good.
You have to check that far ahead. How fucking busy are you?
I've put all the cinema releases in the phone.
What cinema releases?
Every film.
Every film?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just when's check. When's Die Hard 8 coming out?
October 20th, 2018.
Oh, no.
When's Mr. Bean's Holiday 2 coming out?
They're filming Johnny English 3 at Pinewood at the moment.
I don't care about that whatsoever.
Okay. That'd be such an annoying reason for people not coming to your wedding if it's like, oh, Johnny English 3's released that day.
Sorry, Johnny English 3. I mean, we knew it was a risk putting it on the same day as Johnny English 3, but we didn't think it would hit us this hard.
We want to go and see it maybe two or three times.
Be honest, has that played into your thinking with that date? Well, was someone out going, look, we have got a gap this weekend, but the reason it's free... You should know it's the first weekend of Johnny English 3 is coming out.
Yeah, well, that was the main thing. Worryingly, I want to invite Rowan Atkinson.
Oh, well, yeah, he'll be at the premiere, won't he?
Yeah, he's going to be at the premiere. But he can come.
It'll also be hard to get like a proper suit because most of them will be hired out because people will be going to either premieres or celebrations.
Yeah, or like tribute parties.
Tribute parties, yeah.
You won't be able to get anything that looks like either a 007 suit or a Mr. Bean suit because they're going to be taken.
It's going to be extremely... I mean, look, it's challenging, but fair play to you.
I'm going to wear a kilt, I think, a Scottish suit because I don't think anyone's going to be taking them out.
I think Angus Scottish is coming out that weekend as well.
Angus Scottish, oh no.
Billy Connolly's Angus Scottish. okay. So how did you propose? Let's go into your wedding. You've been with your lovely partner for a while.
Yeah. Well, we went for a meal, but before the meal, I took a load of night nurse because I thought it was day nurse. So I got so drowsy, I was nearly falling asleep as I was eating.
And where was the meal?
Just in a like pubby restaurant-y thing in East Dulwich.
Cool.
And then I proposed and I think almost immediately fell asleep.
Well,
it was. We just proposed in the house.
You just proposed in the house.
Yeah.
So you live in this restaurant.
Yeah.
You didn't make that clear. You lived in this restaurant.
No, I had to get a bus back because I couldn't walk because I was falling asleep.
And then you proposed.
Yeah.
And did you mean to propose that night, or were you just delusional? And then you woke up the next day and you went, "Oh."
Well, yeah. I think there was an element of pre-planning.
That's great. That's great. How much was the rock? Actually, I'm not going to ask that. That's a weird question to ask, isn't it?
But did you say rock?
How much was the rock? The rock.
Oh, right.
The diamond. You know, it's like vernacular.
Well, it was £4.
£4.50.
No, I just got a knockoff.
That's a knockoff. That's great. Yeah. So, you're having the wedding. Where are you having it?
Doddington Hall.
Doddington Hall.
In Lincoln.
Ah. Lincoln. Lincoln. That's okay. What's their Johnny English situation in Lincoln? Is it a popular film up there?
I don't think they mind. They're more into sort of
rural comedies.
Yeah. Like
Hot Fuzz.
Or what's the one with the Irish man wins the lottery?
Yeah. What is that?
In my head, all I've got is Stressed Eric. Ned. It's not that. Waking Ned. Yeah.
That can't be enough for the plot of the film.
That is literally
an Irish man wins the lottery.
That is literally Waking Ned. That is the plot. An Irish man wins the lottery, has a heart attack, and dies. And it's about this whole town. That's a piece of turd as well. There's a lot of shit out there.
It's an old film.
What, Waking Ned?
That's like 20 years old.
Yeah, it is. I used to get... It was on all the VHSs.
Yeah.
They always had adverts for Waking Ned. It's one of those films that at the time you go, wow, this must be a huge film. And then you look back and you realise it probably made £4 million worldwide.
That's all right.
Is it?
It probably cost like £250,000 to make.
I don't know if it made £4 million. I don't know where that came from.
Okay. Well, it sounded like your box office mojo there.
Box office mojo. I can never predict how much a film makes.
Really?
That's one of my one of my biggest problems as a potential love partner. Yeah.
So this weekend, the weekend after this one.
Yes.
Is War for the Planet of the Apes.
Worf for the Planet of the Apes.
Worf for them.
So Worf from Star Trek Next Generation joins the Planet of the Apes.
How much is it going to make? US weekend debut.
US weekend debut.
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, is it easy? Is it?
Yeah.
What is it?
Predictions.
$34 million.
$34 million for you.
$34 million.
A million.
What's your prediction?
No, I want to hear yours first.
Well, I don't know. I think opening weekend, I think it'll be about 40.
I reckon 90.
90 million. Whoa. There's no 90. Way I'll make 90 million in the first weekend.
Elliot?
Transformers made less than that.
Of course
that.
It did. That's franchise fatigue. People are excited about the Planet of the
and
Apes franchise.
It's amazing.
And they are excited about the character of
Worf.
How
awful the Transformers films are. I mean, well, I've stopped watching them. They could be absolutely incredible, but from what I've read about them, they're awful. Sorry if anyone's involved.
Hopkins is in the new one.
Katie Hopkins.
Katie Hopkins is in the new one.
She has been absolutely atrocious to the Autobots.
What, is that what they're called, Autobots?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know anything about Transformers.
Depends.
Wait, you think the Wharf of the Planet of the Apes is going to make 90 million US first weekend?
First weekend.
Has any film made 100 million in the first weekend all year, though?
Yeah.
What? I think maybe Wonder Woman did?
Call me out on that. Yeah, I don't know if Wonder Woman did.
I think it made 99 or 98.
There's going to be a second episode of this
Fast and the Furious 8 or The Fate of the Furious, as it was
for
over
8.
There.
Yes.
For 8 of the Furious.
What about Guardians? Could that have done...
Yeah, Guardians would have done it.
Guardians did all right. Hmm? Yeah, did all right, did all right.
I think Despicable Me probably would...
Despicable Me made 75.
Did it?
Yeah. Despicable Me 3 made
75.
Why
do you know this?
Because I fucking know this shit. Because I'm in showbiz. I'm in the showbiz. I'm in the showbiz world.
Of the Planet of the Apes.
I think War for the Planet of the Apes makes 40 mil.
No way.
I think it makes 40 mil first weekend US, and I think that's all the money it will make in its entire cinematic run worldwide. I don't think anyone anywhere else will go and see it other than the first weekend of the US.
But everyone who sees it loves it.
I think they'll love it.
Word of mouth's amazing.
I think the word of mouth will be amazing, but I just don't think anyone will get around to seeing it. Has there ever been a film like that? Has there ever been a film release
where everyone's like, you have to see this? Like, just, I wish I could, but I'm just too busy at the moment.
No one gets around to seeing it.
It's wedding
season.
Makes
nothing. What are we going to do?
It
no one's seeing
Johnny
it.
Johnny English.
Yeah, Johnny English 3. No, that's the exact type of film I can imagine no one getting around to see. What's the demographic for Johnny English 3?
Johnny English, I think, really plays into counter-programming.
Okay.
So they release that at a time when someone else is out. But it's to give an option. That's what it is.
Gives an option, yeah. You either see Captain America or you see Mr. Bean being silly.
Would you say, Ian, that you were counter-programming for your fiancé?
But in what sense? What?
It's like, it's the
just giving her, proposing to her, to give her an option.
In that there was another man proposing to her at the same time.
Yeah, well, I just nipped in. That'd be a great thing. Whenever you see someone proposing in public, and just nip in and be like, oh, also, I think you look beautiful. I'd happily marry you. Like, I earn this much, I do this. I seem like a bit of a different vibe to that guy. He works in finance. I'm a sort of creative
guy. Love that. And maybe she goes, you know what? I haven't heard much about this guy, but may as well.
It might even give her enough just to say, like, well, like, look, no, but I'm not going to say yes to him either. Do you fancy going on a few dates? I'll get back to you. You boring 9-to-5 businessy banker prick.
Why is he that guy?
I don't know.
Why is he that? What, do you think you're better than that guy? Well, I guess maybe you are.
What if it's like one of them flash mob proposals? Would you jump in on that?
Well, that would be the best. That'd be the best. Someone has set up an intricate plan for
just getting the choreography wrong.
At the last minute, you just jump in. Oh yeah, by the way, I'll do it as well.
Found out what their wireless mic frequency is, and you've got one yourself on the same frequency. So technically, it goes off without a hitch. And maritally, without a hitch.
Ironically, Hitch as well.
This is a
another great
of,
comedy coming soon.
A proposal-based question. If you say you're like proposing at the Eiffel Tower or anywhere really, but you go to propose and someone else is proposing...
I mean, I love how you've opened by saying propose at the Eiffel Tower when you admitted that you basically proposed to her in your home asleep.
Basically, you fell asleep by
the
toilet.
The Eiffel Tower is a worse place to perform than in your house and then immediately going to propose, not perform, and then immediately going to sleep. Because at least then there's something personal to it other than just going... No, everyone like, oh, the Eiffel Tower's romantic, isn't it? Let's just go up here. And then there's someone next to you, or 2 minutes ago, someone else has just proposed and had a glass of champagne.
I agree with that. You're a member of the band Eiffel 65?
Oh, that changes everything.
Then
of course.
You can propose there.
You can propose 65 times. That's why it was called that.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah. They proposed 65 times to their respective partner. There were 65 members of the band. They each proposed.
And they all got rejected. That's why they all felt so.
That's why they were blue.
Yes. It writes itself after a while.
What was your catchphrase again? That is a quality gag.
My catchphrase this Edinburgh Fringe listener is, this is a quality joke. And we're all very taken by it. How do you think I should propose if I ever propose to anyone? Big old rock. I'm just thinking Eiffel Tower job.
I think on stage.
I cannot think of anything worse than
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I think the whole idea of a public thing anyway.
My
it's
girlfriend
really weird,
would,
like,
would
hit.
She wouldn't want anything public, but if I did it on stage, I think she would find that the worst thing that I could possibly do.
What do you do, like at halftime of a sports event?
I just think that's
on the
terrible.
Jumbotron.
I think that's terrible. I think it's worse if you do it not on the Jumbotron.
Which like
you propose
within a crowd.
Just in the crowd at like a non-league football match. It's not even like you have the moment where everyone
Whitby
applauds.
Town FC away.
I'd love for you to do it at a preview that's going particularly badly.
You'd like me to propose to someone.
Yeah.
Or just a preview.
Oh.
Oh, great quip
I'm
there,
sorry,
Smith.
Mate. I'm
no,
sorry.
Great quip.
I'm sorry. I think...
Yes.
You should propose by... You could hire someone who's like a real piece of shit. Like, doesn't look
Elliot will be
good.
Available. He's unemployed.
Like,
okay.
Well, yeah. But you know, you stand next to someone. So to do the opposite of what we're saying about the giving an alternative, propose with them while there's just someone next to you that they can kind of look at and just go, yeah, Sean's good. Sean's good.
Who
yeah,
do you put I know next what you mean. To Sean?
Yeah, yeah. That's the key thing. Is that I'm
Neville.
There.
Neville.
I'm always there. That is a good idea, though. It's like, you know, when you don't feel handsome, but if you go out with some people who are particularly ugly and you go, I'm the handsome one.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah,
you need.
Yeah.
You'd rather be a big fish in a small pond.
Who did you go out with?
What?
Yeah. Who have you been going out with?
No one. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
It's one of my favourite jokes because it's so shit. But when I thought you were going to say that thing where you go, you know, when you go out with people and you feel better about yourself because you're going out with people who are much uglier than you. What's that like? I love that pullback and reveal. I've seen so many people do it. Like, oh, you know when you're going out with friends? What's that like? It just makes me laugh every time.
Ian Smith at the Med Quad, this Edinburgh.
Yeah.
We're going to have a break.
Level jokes.
We're going to have a break. We'll be back in part three. Elliot, Ian, will you get off your fucking phone?
I'm just checking.
What are you checking?
I'm checking when I need to get a train to Dartford.
When do you need to get a train for Dartford?
Because I'm punctual and I don't want to fuck up.
But what I mean, when? What time do you?
I need to get a train at 5:15, and the train station is a half an hour walk from here. So, you know what I mean.
No.
Anyway, come on. Don't let me disrupt the flow that you had at the beginning of this.
Okay, I won't. Elliot has got himself in a situation. He wants to ask us about it.
Yeah.
Elliot?
Well, yeah, well, something
far
happened.
Away.
They have to be 16.
Okay, my other one is... So, situation I was in last week, I want to know what anyone else would do.
Okay.
I think I did it wrong.
Okay.
Right. You're on a night out. Okay. Start of the night out.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking down the pavement on your way to the place you're going to go and dance.
Dance.
Uh-huh. You...
you went out to dance.
Uh-huh. On the way there, you see on the floor, out the corner of your eye, and then the middle of your eye, because you're looking at it.
Yep.
Old woman.
A prêt-à-manger wrap. Chicken salad.
I love how little confidence you had that you could pronounce that shop name.
Manga. It's a chicken salad wrap.
Yeah.
In its packaging, so in a cardboard thing, and then a sealed plastic package. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't touch it. 10 feet down, turn a corner, you see a homeless person.
Oh, wow.
What are you doing? What are you doing with that information?
What is the question? Is the question actually, do we give the wrap to the homeless person?
Do you give it to them? Do you tell them about it? do you do anything?
Hey, mate, there's a rat around the corner.
That would be my main
worry. I think
worry
that's weird.
Would be that if you was like, hey, mate, there's a freshly sealed chicken wrap just 2 minutes down the road there, that if they then go 2 minutes down the road and someone else has just picked up that chicken wrap, they're going to think, what cruel joke was
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
I think well, it's a Wile E. Coyote type of, they're going
to
get anvil.
Why did that 8-year-old anymore? Boy lie to us on a night out dancing?
Hey, mister, here's your sandwich.
How did you handle it?
I...
Oh, God.
I was going to tell him.
Oh, I'll bet you were.
And then I realised, I was like, no, he didn't want to know about this.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, hello.
Is that what you said? You said hello.
Yeah, and then...
It sounds like you handled that really well.
I didn't have any change either, so I couldn't do anything. So I had to just keep going. I was like, oh, hello. No information.
Why did you say hello?
Why did you say hello?
Because I was going to tell
him about
the sandwich.
Did you say no information
and then
to him? That is absolutely the worst way you could have handled it.
Hello, no information for you.
Hello.
Because I changed my mind halfway through, and I don't know if I should have told him, if I should have gone, oh, there's some food on the floor around there, because I know that's not what I should have done.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. A lot of this is just tone. You can be kind. Yeah.
So what you
like,
what would you have said? What would you have actually
done? Fresh,
to be fair to you, I probably would have just barked hello at him and just carried on walking. So
exactly.
You handled it the same as I did.
He might not like mayonnaise.
Yeah.
You don't like mayonnaise?
I don't like mayonnaise.
You absolute fucking get out of this.
I don't like mayonnaise.
See, you don't like
loads
mayonnaise.
Loads of people don't like mayonnaise.
Just straightforward mayonnaise. Flavour that mayonnaise. Yeah, I'm on board. But just who wants what? Egg mayonnaise?
Yeah.
No, but I don't think it tastes eggy. It tastes of its own thing.
Egg. Just what? I want a paste that tastes like egg.
I don't think it tastes like egg.
Like
egg.
I don't really like garlic sauce.
Mayo. Yeah, a garlic mayo or a chili mayo or a mustard mayo.
Porridge mayo.
Porridge mayo.
You can mayo anything.
Yeah.
What?
You can mayonnaise anything.
Yeah,
Simon Mayo.
Great one, mate.
Oh, that's a quality gag.
That is a quality gag. I actually have a real problem with people who buy full fat mayonnaise. That's my thing with mayonnaise.
A real problem.
Like a genuine problem. What, I think about them the way that racists think about other races.
How fatty is full fat mayonnaise? I don't know how much fat there is in mayonnaise.
I think there's a lot in full fat mayonnaise, but the main thing is light mayonnaise and extra light mayonnaise tastes exactly the same. There is no benefit to buying full fat mayonnaise.
Do you think Coca-Cola and Diet Coca-Cola taste the same?
No, I don't.
Okay,
no,
cool. Then fine.
No. I don't think they taste the same.
Yeah.
But I think low fat mayonnaise tastes exactly the same as full fat mayonnaise. I think you are proving something. There's something wrong with you if you buy full fat mayonnaise. Let me finish. And if anyone is listening to this podcast
while eating
full fat mayonnaise, get yourself dead.
But you don't often eat mayonnaise in someone else's house. There's not many often, like, if you're at someone else's house, they're not offering you anything that's got mayo in it.
What do you mean?
What do you have mayo in? Like a sandwich that you're making yourself?
Well, that's... I don't...
Sometimes you go around... You have a nice dollop of mayo.
Yeah. I go around for just mayo sessions. Do you ever have a mayo session?
You're only ever exposed
to your
own mayo.
We do that. Have you ever had that? You go, yeah, come around by. We'll watch the first two Johnny English years. We'll eat out the mayo jar. Have you never had that sesh?
And we'll listen to the mayo session.
we'll listen to Simon Mayo.
This seems like the kind of thing I do.
Yeah.
Very plain.
Well, explain to me, Elliot, why you've put a little dollop of mayo on the top of all these microphones.
That's why we have to keep it a fist away, so we get mayonnaise on our noses.
Don't eat your mayo. Yeah.
Just every now and then.
Do you find not liking mayonnaise hinders your enjoyment of life? I'll give you a clue. The answer is yes.
Why do you like it so much? Why are you such a mayo apologist?
I'm not a mayo. I don't need you to be an apologist. It's probably the most popular condiment on earth.
More popular than ketchup.
I think mayonnaise and ketchup are probably equal bedfellows in the world of condiments.
No.
In this room for a start, who likes ketchup?
Me.
No, I don't like ketchup either. I had ketchup too. Elliot, this is why we...
Don't try and swing the vote.
I'm fucking bullshit.
I don't like ketchup.
Reggae sauce is more popular than mayonnaise.
You absolutely psychopath. You hippie shit. You think reggae sauce is as popular as mayonnaise? You're nuts, mate.
It's got a song. Mayonnaise don't have a song.
Mayonnaise don't need a song.
So nice they had to name it twice.
Can you imagine?
I don't want to come out on Mayo's side, but there is a song.
What's the mayonnaise
mayo,
song?
Mayo, 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 mayo! Oh, don't put mayo in that.
Wait a minute. So you guys...
Sauce?
Wait, you guys don't... What about mustard?
Oh, I love mustard.
I'd say mustard.
Got to love a bit of mustard. Got to love a bit of mustard.
Whole grain?
Bit of whole grain. Sort of French Dijon-y style.
Oh, please.
And frankly, mild American yellow. It's sensual. It's soft. It goes well with a lot of dishes.
And you spread it on your balls, and you get an American come up, and they'll lick your balls.
Yeah, yeah. You get an American comeuppance. I am.
Sometimes you know that mint, that natural sauce mint shower gel.
Yeah, you put that on your on your balls, and a lamb comes up.
I think we're approaching this conversation from a different angle, Stu. I think you don't like the way mayonnaise is on your balls.
What's that supposed to attract, Sean McLaughlin?
I despise ketchup, though. I have to say that I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Why not? Barbecue sauce.
Don't like it.
Don't like it.
No. Oh, all right. Get out of my house.
What do you mean? You like barbecue sauce?
This is a barbecue sauce house. You take your shoes off in my house and you eat your fucking barbecue sauce.
I'm
going to
take my shoes off. I'll get barbecue sauce. Yeah.
That's why the floor's so sticky and brown. It's just barbecue sauce.
Yeah, sure.
Why do you like barbecue sauce so much?
Because it tastes good.
No. Tastes good? Yeah. It's like HP sauce. It's a strong It's like HP ketchup. Sauce for children.
It's like HP sauce that's run through the bonfire.
Is HP sauce brown sauce?
Yeah, nice. Brown,
brown sauce is quality, but HP sauce is slightly different to brown sauce. It's clearly a cut above.
Yes. Yeah. It's better than Daddy's brown sauce.
Never had Daddy's.
Oh gosh.
I had a bacon roll the other day.
Oh.
But what was the roll? A hot cross bun.
What?
Oh, actually, I had a cinnamon and raisin bagel. I put bacon in it.
What did you do with that afterwards? Did you put it in your mouth?
What sort of question is
Did you eat it?
Oh, yeah, sorry, no. And then I ate it.
Very fancy. And yet we wouldn't give it to the homeless guy.
Anecdote.
Oh, no, I mean, I just put it in
my Cool. So what, and then you ate it?
Yeah.
Great.
I got my toaster out, put some bacon in it.
And then what, you ate the bacon?
I've just been putting bacon on a lot of things. Bacon famously complements sweet sort of things.
Do you think so?
Waffles?
Waffles.
Maple syrup? Mrs. Maple syrup?
Pancokes?
Pancokes.
This is Maple's famous syrup.
Brioche? Brioche buns?
Brioche.
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 Imagine if brioche was pronounced brioche.
I have to say, actually, mayo with bacon all day long. All day long.
Oh, no!
All day long. All day long.
Oh, my God. Do you know the brightest thing that should be involved in a bacon roll? The roll.
The roll?
The roll.
White bread.
What do you mean the brightest thing?
The brightest thing.
What, you think mayonnaise is bright?
It is bright.
Is that why you don't like it? Because it hurts your eyes?
Hang on. What colour do you think it is?
I wouldn't call it bright.
Oh, it's brighter than brown sauce.
What does that mean it's bright?
It's bright for a condiment.
I'd say it's as bright as I am. I mean, am I hurting your eyes looking at my white skin?
You're not even as intellectually bright as mayonnaise.
Oh, good
you
one.
You fucking idiot.
Mayo, good mayo, one, mayo, mayo.
Are you meant to be singing that song by the Kaiser Chiefs?
Who knew there'd be so much
condiment
banter? They're
the Christian rock band I'm in.
Yeah, the Christian rock band you're in, mayo. Here's the key thing, is that, it's delicious. Bread.
Oh, sorry. Bacon. Right.
Bread, bacon, lettuce, bit of mayo, upper
bitter
bread.
Bitter mayo.
Bit of mayo. Not bitter. Not bitter mayo. I want my mayonnaise
lemon
bitter, zest. Please. Do you have any mayonnaise that's been left out of the tub for a while?
Can I just say?
No, whatever it is, no.
How many more condiments that are popular that are in the mix? Because I'm out of condiments now we've been talking about.
Tartar sauce.
Mustard. Oh.
I mean, that's the thing. Are these things sauces or are they condiments?
Isn't tartar sauce never the twain shall meet that they've just tried to rebrand?
No, tartar sauce is more fish-based.
Yeah, there's a lot of fish in it.
Oh,
is it actually fish in it, or is it just, does it go with fish?
I thought it was little bits.
It's got crab in it.
That might be.
Oh, it's got big chunks of crab.
It's got big old, no, it's got like
a
live
crab.
Of course.
It's got live pubic lice in it.
Oh, yeah.
And when you want a bit, they hand it out to you.
Yeah. It's very, I mean, I don't understand how it's quite got so popular, but it's a very quality condiment. It's also very, it's very cloggy. It's very cloggy, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like very, it's literally seminal.
I would not have it.
With anything?
I don't like any white sauce.
You don't like any white sauce?
I don't like, is bechamel white?
What's bechamel?
A sauce.
She's in The New Girl.
Very good stuff. Mr. Showbiz, Stuart Laws. What about bread sauce? You ever had bread sauce?
Bread sauce is
weird. No, I'm not a
never
fan
had
of bread
it.
Sauce.
It was not in my family.
Horseradish?
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, no, all night long. All night. Put that on your balls. You won't have them for long.
I'd propose to that and fall asleep.
You want to wake up? You should have done a line of horseradish. That's a fiery sauce, isn't it? Yeah. Horseradish.
Really?
It's a fiery sauce. That's like it's like poppers for straight people.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Straight people.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we'll do some after this.
All right. Cool.
What other sauces are you in the market for, Elliot?
To put on my bum or in my mouth?
Not bum. No one said bum.
Wait,
you don't put horseradish when you said that for poppers?
That's to attract horses.
Horseradish? I use it to attract radish.
I think we've done all the sauces, haven't we?
Nah.
No, there must be more.
Tabasco.
Tabasco?
Peppercorn. Ah! Love peppercorn sauce.
Chili?
Oh, yes, sweet chili. Sweet chili sauce. That's a good one.
Do you like hot sauce? I'm not really a hot sauce. I don't really like hot things. I don't like spice.
I don't want pain with my
food. No, I'm not a spicy thing. No. I'll always go for a medium spicy curry, but it's only to save face.
What Nando's are you getting?
What Nando's are you getting?
Yeah, I'll be honest. My favourite curry is a Karma.
I like a Karma.
I love a coconutty Karma, but if you go into an Indian restaurant and say that, yeah.
They make fun of you, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they order.
Do they make fun of you? Who makes fun of you?
Not everyone, but mostly.
Sometimes they do give you a bit of sort of like inverted commas banter. If you get a Karma, they're like, oh, can't handle it. It's like, it's one of your fucking dishes.
Yeah.
Can't do that. And you have a restaurant, you go, I'm like, I'll have the fish and chips. It's like, you fucking put it on your menu, just don't put it on your menu.
Whenever I used to.
Ridiculous.
Whenever I used to go in, they used to go, yep, one Vindaloo. Like, I'd be so scared they'd actually order me something I don't want.
Rich man asks, what must I do? Hold me to come and follow you.
Bear in mind, I'll need to go in 15 minutes.
Alright,
we'll just do bang out of 15.
Because I'm going
to
try
we'll
and.
Bang out of 15. We'll just start with plugs and the plugs will lead to something
else. Oh, you'll be done by hour three! Fucking.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't get going, mate, because you were too busy blabbing on.
Being a legend.
That's true. That's fair. I was late.
Because I've got to get a thing in an hour, and if I walk home, it'll take me 40 minutes.
Okay, well, I mean, what do you think's happening here?
Come on! Please!
One of the dullest stories I've heard 7 times.
Can we do a podcast?
I don't understand how you get anything done. How are you going to have a wedding if this is how you act?
Yeah, you're going to just spend majority of the next year and a half explaining that you've got a wedding.
How am I going to get an Edinburgh show done?
Let's talk about these shows.
It's all going wrong.
Anything to plug? Ian Smith, for starting with you, what are you plugging?
What?
You're doing Camden Fringe, is that right?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
What are you doing?
I'm doing the Edinburgh
Wait, you're
Festival.
Doing the Edinburgh Fringe?
The Edinburgh Fringe.
Corpus
the,
Christi.
The Edinburgh Festival Fringe, which runs from the 4th to the 28th of August this year, 2017.
And what's your show called?
It's called Ian Smith, or I like to put my name in it, so people know who's doing it. Snowflake.
Yep.
And that's it. That's the title.
And so your middle name is Smith.
Yeah.
And that is a Heal Your Wounds.
Heal Your Wounds exclusive.
Yeah.
Where is it? What time is it?
It's on in the Underbelly.
Can you just fucking at least just pretend that you want to be here?
It's on at the Underbelly Med Quad. It's on at.
Don't make up venues, mate. Don't make up venues.
5:15 in the hotspot. The critically acclaimed hotspot. I imagine not enough people will come to see it, and that even if it is a good show, it's going to be very difficult to perform to the 5 people there. So the reviews will be bad, and it'll make it look like I've done a pile of shit, but I've been working very hard. That's what I imagine my Fringe is going to be like, and I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, our listeners are going to definitely cut that a wide
no,
berth.
No, do. Oh, I regret pitching my show like that.
Ian, you're a very, very funny comedian. Your shows always do very well.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny guy.
I've got a joke about aubergines.
Okay, let's...
Can I say one of my punchlines out of context?
Yeah.
Quit while you're ahead.
I think we should let's give him this. Come on, Stu.
I put the mic further than a fist away for this. These have got parsnips in! Yeah, that's one of my punchlines.
So then to find out...
Yeah, if you want to know the setup to that.
Yeah, we're going to want to know the setup to that.
You're a better man than me. Or woman.
Yep. Stu, anything you want to plug?
I'm doing the Edinburgh Fringe.
Edinburgh Fringe.
The Edinburgh Festival Fringe. Or just the Edinburgh Fringe.
I'm doing it from the 2nd to the 27th of August.
Oh, lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. And what's your venue?
The Pleasance Attic at 7 p.m.
No way. I was in the Pleasance Attic a couple of years ago.
You were.
A delightful venue.
Yeah.
7 p.m. What's the name of the show?
Show's called Stuart Law's Stops.
Stops?
Oh.
Are you going to be stopping?
Maybe.
It'd be funny if you just did 5 and was like, Oh, I can't do this anymore.
I'm out.
Walk out.
I don't know if it'd be that funny. I think people would actually be very pissed off.
Be really upset.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be quite upsetting,
actually. Put tickets
for
30 quid.
I wouldn't get too attached to that idea, Ian. I think that's a really bad idea, especially with your past lips bullshit you were saying earlier.
I'm trying to think of a punchline I could do to mine. Ah, and then I pay by check.
That sounds good.
I think that is a joke set in Eastern Europe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely nowhere near. Although there are too many homophones in my show.
Are there?
No homo.
No homo. That's also, you make films. You make comedy sketches. Yeah. Funny old sketches.
I run
Turtle Canyon.
Turtle Canyon comedy. And I made some films with Ian Smith, who is to my right. Did anyone imagine he was to my right?
I don't think people care. I imagine our listeners have been imagining that we've been making this episode basically between glass in a prison, given how insane it's been. It's basically been like the end scene of the X-Men, but with four people like that. You two...
I imagine everyone will get that reference.
Ian Smith, Ghoul.
Yeah.
Ghoul is where you filmed your thing. It was really funny. I watched some of them this morning. They were great.
Thank you.
They're really dense. Like, there's loads of comedy in them.
And you can tell that you've watched them this morning purely because me and Stuart are coming on the show and you felt like you had to. No, but thank you for watching.
It all adds up, doesn't it?
The show's called Hope You Come Up Here.
Yeah.
It's a parody.
It's about your arsehole, is that right?
Mayo, 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 mayo. It's a parody of Wish You Were Here. But also not.
Check
with,
it out.
With the youngest mayor in the UK. Yeah.
I saw that interview.
19 years young.
He's a sweet man, isn't he?
Oh, I love him.
He seems a very sweet guy. It's a great show. And you've got loads of other great stuff on Turtle Canyon. But that's as good as anything you've put up, I'd say.
Yeah, it's up there.
Thank you.
I really like it. It's up there. What have you done that's much better than the thing Ian wrote then?
Okay.
that was like a, this is going to be a long list. oh, God, right.
There's loads of stuff.
Are we talking just comedy or are we also talking corporate videos?
There's a lot of and not even corporate videos, just like literally interviewing a doctor for 2 hours and then cutting out the questions in between so it's just the answers. Yeah. That sort of stuff is better than Hope You Come Up.
My favourite line in a Turtle Canyon video is one of Jordan Brooks's.
Is it just going to be the end that you're just going to tell the punchline?
No, I'll tell you the context as well.
Oh, lovely.
He's looking in a picture book of magic eye puzzles and he just says, "Why are there all pictures of my dad's dick?" made me laugh so much.
That's a funny line.
Great quip. Elliot, anything to plug?
Not yet. We'll do eventually. Soon.
What are you working on?
Yeah.
Got a short film, a web series, another podcast to go.
Ooh. Ooh. What's the short film about?
It's about, you know, Let's Plays, like video games. People play video games.
Yeah, Let's Plays.
I have to make a fake video game to make a 3-minute film.
Mm. Oh,
yep,
why don't you just
it.
Use a real video game? Are you allowed?
I don't want to. I want to make it my thing.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, that's really cute. That's
Thank you. I'm a grown man. Sean, are you at the Fringe?
I am at the Fringe. I should probably start plugging my show, shouldn't I?
Uh-huh.
I've not actually plugged it in any of the
What's
previous episodes.
You've never said what it's called before.
No, it's called Dick Bump Tonight.
Oh, there's a couple of shows
it's called
that. Sean
was
worried about
it's called Dick Bump Tonight. I don't know why I called it that. I didn't know what to call it. Well, my first show called Dick Bump in the Afternoon. I mean, it's a theme.
It's a character that you play.
It's a character. It's called Dick Bump, Richard Bump. And he's just a
denied.
Yeah, he's just a funny guy. He's kind of a detective.
Yeah.
He's got a failing marriage, but he's into lots of loopy characters. And so Dick Bump Tonight, come and see it.
So I remember
it's on at 10 a.m. at the Yurt.
In 2011, you were doing a split bill with Ian Sterling.
Correct. Of Love Island fame.
How do you feel about the sort of the split in your career path since then? How do you feel? Because he's won a BAFTA, isn't he? And
yeah,
he's just like the very recognisable voice of Love Island.
And one of the best shows on TV.
Yeah,
I imagine
one of the most popular shows on TV.
He sells out quite large rooms at the Pleasance.
Yeah, yeah. How do I feel about him?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's 2011, so that's what, 6 years ago.
I think I've had plenty of my own success, actually, Stu.
You were nearly nominated for the newcomer for Dick Bump in the Morning.
Dick Bump in the Morning was a big hit show.
The first one.
The first one was a big hit. It was a big hit. I was frequently playing to double-digit audiences across the week.
Yeah. They had all 10 fingers.
I don't know. I work with a lot of people who end up having more success than me. I think Ian is an incredibly talented comedian, incredibly talented person. And
why are you crossing your fingers?
And
what are you doing that for?
Every
he's
night,
shaking your head.
He's not got so angry as I thought he'd get.
Just think it's a fucking outrageous question to ask me on my own fucking show. I think it's a fucking outrageous. A fucking outrageous question to go. I did a double header in 2011 with someone who's more successful. He was more successful than me back then.
Yeah, I know it's an unfair question, and I hope you know.
It must feel bad though. I can't imagine how it feels. I did one with Rob Beckett, and
it's tough. Yeah. I think the real question is, how do you feel that you've never even worked with anyone who's had any success?
Yeah,
Stu?
That's absolutely fair. The only two people I shared a show with have both quit comedy.
Both of my flatmates as well. Yeah. Two of my former flatmates. Such is life.
That was a good year.
That was a very good
year. Quit comedy? Who you've done shows with?
Anna Freiberg and David Hannon. And I know David listens to this.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
David, if you're listening, you're a good egg.
That's a good egg. I used to do a podcast.
Why are you all
with
crossing
him?
Your fingers?
You're a good egg mayonnaise, and that's a callback.
Yeah, well done.
Oh, we're gonna cut that bit. We're gonna cut that bit.
It's
that
only the stuff about sexual assault that gets in.
It's 30 seconds long, but it's all terrible.
It's gonna be a 30 seconds of guests and 45 minutes of apologies.
Cutting all that libelous mayo stuff.
I just like to, one of my closing remarks.
That isn't really how this podcast works. You don't get closing remarks.
Well, here we go.
It's not a trial. It may lead to one.
Leather. It's quite cooling when you initially go on it, but it gets very hot.
Okay. Are those your closing remarks? Great. Cool. Nice outlet.
My closing remarks would be, it is weird how much leather Ian's wearing.
Listen, if you don't know, he is top to toe leather. And he's left his motorbike running outside.
I've left it running and with the steering just on a slight angle, so it just sort of loops.
Yeah, this is mad. He's put a brick down and like a sort of special stick that's just going around the block on its own.
And then there's a man running around trying to kick the hat off the stick.
There's my daughter's in the sidecar. She'll be okay.
What's her name, Maisie?
I don't understand. I feel like you were saying that as if that's that a joke?
You're like, say yes and we're done.
You said it like a pun, like, is her name Maisie?
I just thought of a name.
Is her name Mayosie? Yeah.
Oh, yes, it is.
We did improv in Hope You Come Up Here. You learned all the basics.
Stop talking about this butthole-based show. Talk about Wish You Were Here or whatever it's called.
Have you seen Wish You Were Here?
No, I don't care.
You don't know about Wish You Were Here?
What's your show called?
Hope You Come Up Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you sure it isn't pornographic?
That's why we called it that. It sounds a bit saucy.
There's this old... I sent Stu recently.
It's great.
There's this old documentary of Google from like the 70s, and it's there's a scene in it where a police officer describes, like, there's a bar in Google, and it's supposed to be a men's club, and they say, oh, will women be invited? And you go like, oh, yes, women are invited. And I say, like, oh, and what do you think the women will get from it? And like, well, I'd like to think the women will come to the bar and entertain the local gentlemen, host them, dance with them, and make them feel very at home. And he's basically a policeman just condoning prostitution at this bar. And then later on in the episode, just three prostitutes getting interviewed. Like, just open, like a normal sort of travelogue show, but just these three prostitutes, and they're saying, like, oh, the Europeans men treat you a lot better than British people.
Oh, really?
This was when, like, if they'd have had an EU referendum there, we would have still been in it, because the prostitutes, obviously the big prostitute swing.
They did, I think, back then. We voted to go into it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because Eastern Europeans treated our prostitutes properly. But now, they don't. I imagine.
And you say that these are your closing statements.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had so many opportunities to not act the way you've been acting.
I've got to go in 2 minutes, so I've got to redeem myself in 2 minutes.
All right, Ian. I mean, do you really feel like you've done yourself proud of this episode?
No.
No. Do you think that it's representative of your act?
No, I don't think so.
No. Do you want to say anything to our listeners to maybe get them on side and maybe get them on the Ian Smith bandwagon? And keep in mind that the people who listen to this show are, and I don't want any back chat, cattle.
No, I don't really think there's anything I can say that would help my cause of making people want to go and see me again. But I'm very funny. I always try my best. I was Googling rugs today to see if I might have a little rug involved in my show. So, you know, I'm obviously trying. I'm a real good conversation for a lot of people.
For a lot of people, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people really enjoy talking to me.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Yep. Stu, anything you want to add to that?
No, that sort of summed me up as well.
Yeah.
But it really sort of got to the meat of me.
Are you going to be allowed to do any more episodes of this after this one?
We're not allowed to be doing this anyway. We're not even really putting them out online. We're just going to post them through people's
doors.
The
weird thing is that I've listened to all of these and I thought they're probably a bit chaotic to record.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get here and you're like, oh no.
I've heard
like,
that
I feel my career is more under threat from this. My non-existent career is more under threat from this than anything else I've ever done.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much for coming, guys. Hope you have a great Fringe.
I've heard that you distribute this podcast like people doing Camden when they're selling reggae CDs. Just on the street. Do you like podcasts?
Giving out a free
pound,
iPhone.
Pound for a podcast series. Do you like podcasts? Oh, God, my back is so sweaty. Oh, sweet Lord!
That's all that's left of our love. Ticket stub. That's all that's left of our love.
So that was the episode. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much to Ian and Stu.
Thank you.
Check them out. Did you have fun there, Elliot?
Oh, I had a great fun.
Yeah. You had a great fun.
Yeah.
More fun than that homeless person you absolutely frigged over.
Well, I didn't give him the sandwich, which I think was the conclusion was the correct thing to do.
Probably. I think you're in the clear.
He's okay.
Yes, thank you to them. Very funny people. I got a thing I want to just talk about. I saw this on the way here. Now, I don't know. We talk about middle names a lot, right?
Yes.
Do you think we talk about it too much?
I think we talk about it as much as the listener wants. They're expecting it.
Do you think that's why they tune in? Because they want to know people's middle names?
Yeah. So we're about to give people middle names and we're about to skew the news.
Well, no, basically, do you know this guy called Jacob Rees-Mogg?
I don't.
He's a conservative politician. He's an MP. He's kind of like an old school Shire Tory. You know?
Is Rees his middle name or is it double-barreled?
It's double-barreled. Rees-Mogg. Double-barreled.
Sure.
Now, this might become a big viral story by the time our listeners hear this. I don't know. Because this is literally something that just happened.
Yeah.
But he's just had a kid. He's had a child, a baby.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. And it's hard to believe that that isn't the thing that I was actually flagging up as the big story.
Bringing an innocent life into this miserable world.
It's called...
Okay.
Sixtus Dominic Bonyface Christopher.
Eh? Eh? What?
This motherfucker has called his kid Sixtus.
I thought you were calling the baby a motherfucker.
Well, the baby probably is.
Yeah.
Sixtus. Dominic,
that's fine, that's the normal bit.
Bonyface.
That's even worse than Sixtus.
Christopher.
Boniface. Do you think it's fancier than that? Do you think it's more like Boniface?
I think it's Boniface. I think it's literally they're anticipating this child to have a lot of boners in his face. The name Sixtus was shared by five popes, most recently in 1590. It's absolutely fucked.
And this is the sixth child that the politicians had.
Yeah. I found a list earlier of his other children.
Of all the kids got dumb.
It's a kind of a joke how much of like a conservative politician this guy is.
Yeah.
These are his other... Let's have a look. Does he have other children?
Let's make fun of some kids. Something they can't control.
I think that's what this podcast has been needing.
That's what those piece of crap motherfuckers have been waiting for.
Well, alright. I'm not making fun of the kids. I am making fun of them.
I'll make fun of the little dweeby pieces of crap.
You dumb turds. Alfred Wulfric Layson Pius.
Alfred's fine. Wulfric.
Wulfric.
Wulfric. Next word was...
Layson.
Layson. No, that's wrong. Next.
Pius.
Pius. Pius. Okay. Rees-Mogg.
Thomas Wentworth Somerset Dunstan.
That is the most normal name that family's got going for it.
Wentworth Somerset Dunstan. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah. Do you reckon that's Dunstan named after Dunstan Checks In?
Probably.
Jacob Rees-Mogg loves Dunstan Checks In.
Yeah.
Peter Theodore Alfieg. That's all right.
Yeah.
Anselm Charles Fitzwilliam.
Why do they keep picking...
Marianne Charlotte Emma Rees-Mogg.
That one's well normal. That's such a normal name. If anything, she's too grey.
I don't really know. I feel like it's a problem naming kids all these things. I feel like it's a problem. I don't understand why you would want to name your... I can't get into the head of parents in general.
Have you got any names picked out?
For what?
Someone spawns your little thing, and then they hand it to you.
Someone spawns my little thing?
And you look at its face. What are you calling it?
What's the gender of said spawn?
Oh, does that matter to you, does it?
Yes.
Right. Maybe you let the baby decide what it feels like. All right. But let's just say in the 50s, we'd all identify it as male.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Maybe Sixtus?
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good for a firstborn.
Sixtus?
Yeah. Make it worried something had happened.
Yeah, go. No, yeah, yeah.
You're
no.
sixth child, but you're the only one.
Hey? Yeah, yeah. No. You're definitely our only child.
Uh huh.
At the moment. What would you do? Do you want to have kids?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd be a good father.
Okay.
What are you going to call your kids?
Bugger face.
Bugger face.
Bugger face, bumhole, Jack Fallows.
And what about the male?
Male.
And the male child?
The male will be called, Here's My Vagina, Rebecca Fallows McNeese.
McNeese?
Yeah.
Why is it McNeese? Is that the name of the...
In case I get married to someone called McNeese.
That's good. It's always good to preemptively name the child after someone you may one day marry.
Yeah.
That seems like a very wise move.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't really want kids.
No?
Not my thing. Don't like them.
What if you end up with one and then they hear this?
Well, good. If you're listening to me, future child Sixtus, I love you. I'm going to give you my best shot, but you are not planned and frankly, you're not wanted and you've probably ruined my life in some way.
Your future child's not hearing anything.
What do you mean?
It's probably not got ears or eyes.
What do you think's happening in my... What do you think my gene pool is?
I think the thing that spawned out of you is... just an old school pencil rubber. And you're walking around calling it Sixtus.
Wait, so it's not even actually just a pencil. It's just the rubber.
Just the little red rubber
bit.
Does
it even have the little metal bit around the...
Of course not.
So you think I've got... You're implying that I impregnate a woman?
Or someone who identifies as one, yeah.
What you think? All right, so you're saying that I have the ability to impregnate men who are maybe transitioning?
I think this is more a nuanced situation than you understand, Sean. All right, so maybe veer away from it.
I don't think it's that nuanced. Do you think that it's possible for a transitioning man to give birth to my child?
It depends how old-fashioned you've been when you say man. When you say man, what are you meaning there?
Okay, so let me get this straight. Let's say I fall in love with a man who has become a woman. She considers herself woman. I consider her woman.
Mm-hmm.
We're having sex.
Yep.
In what used to be her dick.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently she's got a womb and she's got full ovaries and eggs and everything like that.
Uh-huh. But you've never seen him.
Well, of course I've never seen them.
Okay.
Because no one's... You don't see them. And even on a person who was born a female.
Okay. All right.
You don't see any genitals, right?
I see some genitals. See him around, catch a glimpse.
So basically, I'm fucking this guy in his former dick hole.
Okay.
And then, not only does he become pregnant, or she become pregnant.
What position?
Pardon?
Then.
What position?
Then she becomes pregnant.
The baby
mm-hmm.
is a rubber.
Yeah. Little red pencil eraser. Yeah.
I cannot believe... How, I mean, if I wasn't so flabbergasted by your ignorance, I'd be insulted.
How is any of this ignorant? This is very forward thinking.
Yeah, we had a rubber. Me and my wife, you know, she used to be my husband, but now she's my wife, and we're not going to have a baby, but we are going to have a rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the type of thing people will say in Stoke Newington. Yeah, we're going to get some smashed avocados.
What's an unwarranted attack?
We're going to have a little thing. We're just going to have a little rubber. You know, we don't want a full baby, but just a little rubber.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's a symbol of man's mistakes.
What, my offspring?
Yeah.
This is an outrageous. This is an outrageous section. Who's going to have your babies then?
Just whatever takes. Whatever.
Whatever takes?
Whatever sticks. Whatever thinks it's acceptable.
What do you want to call your little nippers then? Booger face.
So booger face is my vagina. What else?
And how do you raise the children? Do you raise them in the church?
I raise them in a church.
But not in the church.
I raise them very strictly atheist.
But in a church?
In a church.
Yes.
So I point at everything around them and go, no. Never believe this. No. Never believe. Even though I'm agnostic. Yeah. I'll raise them atheists.
Whoever
I had them with is dead.
Whoever you have them with is dead.
Yeah, or left. Or left the scene.
Maybe I think it's more likely they've left the
maybe
scene.
Maybe he or she, whoever had them.
There's no gave. He or she. There's no he or she about who had them.
Well, I'm not allowed to pick a man or a woman. That's my God-given or gosh-given right. To have a man or a woman.
I think there's one thing. Look, we're all progressive. We're all allies.
Yep.
A man, if you're born a male, you physically cannot give birth.
Hmm. It's very old timey talk from Mr. Sean McLaughlin there. Or Mrs.
Or Mrs. Siobhan McLaughlin.
Bloody. You monster.
Do you think if we ever had children, the.
You and me.
Yeah, no, I don't think society's ready for that. I think if we...
What height would that baby be? It'd either be way too tall or a little tiny thing.
I think either way, it would be an incredibly skinny wiener of a child.
I think definitely.
It would probably have a skinny wiener too. Now, let's be reasonable here. If we had children of separate relationships, do you think they'd be friends?
I think so.
If your child was bullying my child, which, by the way, would never happen, my child would be, I question, would be the bully.
Oh, yeah, my child will be weak as. It would be, would I would be raised call, to the fallows.
Would you call me out? Or would you come around my house? You'd go, Sean, remember that podcast we used to do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got history.
Yeah.
Your son is kind of beating up on Booger Face.
Yeah.
Get him off it.
I think I'd sit you down. Yep. And I'd sit your little rubber down. I'd lay a hand just on your knee and I'd say, Sean, I'm not judging you. And I'm not trying to impart my parenting philosophy on you. But that rubber over there, and I'm calling him a rubber, and I'm calling him a him. That's how serious I am. Has been picking on my little bowl of jelly. And it's, to be honest, slightly wearing thin. Okay? And then I take my hand and I just very slowly take it off your leg.
Okay.
And I'd put it on my own leg and then wipe it a little bit like I'm wiping something off my hand. What would your response to that be?
I'd probably flush your head down the toilet.
Oh, no.
And steal your lunch money.
Oh, no. I need it. My milk.
Oh, listeners, can you imagine me and Elliot having a little baby of our own?
I think there's a sitcom where... we end up with a baby somewhere.
Oh, that'd be great.
How old would you want the kid to grow up to be?
What? I want it to outlive me.
Okay. I just feel narratively this podcast should end at the point when the child's life or adult's life ends.
All right. Well, let's go through our child's life.
Okay.
All right? Let's say me and you've got a kid.
Okay. Are either of us biologically related to this kid?
It is both of our biology.
Okay.
In a test, we've mixed the spunk together.
You, me, and we had a baby in a test tube.
Yeah.
And it grew up to be human?
Well, unless there's something you want to tell me.
Okay. And then, okay, so we take it through life.
Take it through life. Born.
Born.
How do you want this child to be born?
What I'm hoping for is this thing growing on my eye is actually a baby.
And Let's go on the assumption that it is.
In a few months' time, it will just come out.
Well, Sean died,
so this baby could live.
What a gift for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Baby's born.
Yeah.
this little tot. What do we name this tot? What is the gender of the tot?
We let the baby decide the gender.
But the baby can't fucking talk. We can't let the baby decide the gender.
We have a picture of the male symbol, picture of the female symbol, picture of rhino as a wild card, and we see which one it points to.
Can't we have, instead of the male symbol and the female symbol, can't we have a penis and like a vagina?
Fine.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just pointing to which one it wants. Look, all right, I'll take this one. We'll do this one your way, but I get to play a card later in its life.
All right.
So we'll say it's a male.
We each get 3 cards each. Mm-hmm. This is one of mine.
It's a male.
Well, no, we're not saying
you're
that.
Identifying it as a male.
If it's got a penis, then I will initially identify it as a male.
Fine.
Name of male.
I think we should call it Dulux. Carmichael. Fallows McLaughlin.
Fallows McLaughlin?
Mm-hmm.
Not McLaughlin Fallows.
I think Fallows McLaughlin comes off the tongue better.
Do you?
Yeah, or do you think we should mix the names like McFalcon? McFalcon.
McFalcon sounds good
oh,
to me.
Oh, God, yes.
McFalcon.
Dulux Carmichael
McFalcon.
Yeah.
All right, little Dulux.
Uh-huh.
Going around.
Yeah.
Preschool.
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing that?
We send it to the worst preschool. And the worst school.
Yes.
With the hopes that it will bring up the standard for the rest of the school.
Yes, absolutely. And with that, because it's so much better to be a big fish in a small pond, isn't it?
Okay.
So much better.
Yeah, definitely.
So if we really send it to the worst school, and I actually think in the years leading up to Dulux's birth, mm-hmm. we should be finding local schools and local preschools and actively infiltrating them from the inside.
And ruining them a little
ruining
bit.
Ruining them a little bit.
Yeah.
Sex scandals, yeah. You know, that kind of stuff.
Leave some clues around for the baby to find in the future.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I think actually maybe it would be nice if the baby thought one of us had died and then we left a message for the child.
But one of us secretly became a teacher in the school, so we could still be around.
Yes, we could still be around. And then they go, and then finally they find a like a videotape that their father made.
Yeah.
And they put it in.
This
and
is
they
where
go,
we learn which one of us is the father.
Yeah.
And who's on the videotape, Sean? My little heterosexual Shawnee Pops. Who's on the videotape? Do you want to book Societal Trends and let me be the father? Or are you going to be the father?
You be the father.
Thank you.
That means you can work in that piece of shit school for all those years.
Oh, shit.
Ha!
Okay. So it's going through school, finding these clues, tape of the father, who is me.
Who is you?
And what am I saying in the tape?
My son.
I don't sound like that.
You'd have to. I'd do a voiceover for you.
My son.
My son. Dulux. I have watched you grow from afar. Now it is time for you to reach your destiny. I have always loved you, my son. And then he'll turn around and he'll realize that the man in the video is the same man who's been teaching him
history.
Mm-hmm. And you are there with tears in your eyes and a sword.
Yep.
Because Dulux must take the sword.
Must take the sword.
Yes.
Okay. I like it. Where did I get this sword from?
A clan rally.
Okay, cool. And so Dulux takes a sword.
Yeah.
Am I still out of the picture here?
No, you're back in.
I'm back in. Am I living with you two again?
Yeah, you've moved back in.
Eggs the next day.
Fine. And we never mention it.
What, the sword?
No, just the 18 years apart.
Okay. You and me just high five and we're back.
We're back.
Okay. So then next few years pass. Go through secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
He's going through...
Wait, this is in primary school?
That was in primary school.
In my head, he was already maybe 15 or 16.
He was 11. This is Harry Potter. He gets to like 15, 16. He's facing some trials and tribulations, yes. As we all do.
Yeah.
Let's say at that point, one of his friends loses an eye in a train viewing accident.
A train what?
Viewing accident.
Train viewing accident.
The train's going too fast. And
one of the eyes just explodes.
And the eye just pops out.
Yeah.
Because of the force of the face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe they're at York Railway Museum.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. And everyone else at school...
Wow, way to fucking dismiss my idea there.
Everyone else at school rejects Bentley, who's the one-eye guy. Or girl. And Dulux is like, I mean, I don't want to be an outcast either. You know, it's a rough time for me. I'm already very spotty, probably. So then you, then he stops becoming friends with Bentley. He comes home one day, and we're like, oh, how's that? How's Bentley doing? Is are you being a good friend for him? And Dew looks
or
like,
her,
or her. And Dew looks is like, yeah, sure. But we know that he's lying.
Yeah.
And we go and see Bentley's parents.
Yeah.
Yep. Who are a rock and a tree.
A rock and a tree.
Rock on a tree.
On a tree.
And we say, oh, how's Bentley doing? And it's like, oh, Bentley's doing very lonely. Where's Dulux been? And we know.
And we go, Dulux doesn't want to hang out with Bentley anymore.
And
they'll go, why? What's wrong with our beautiful Bentley?
And then
I'll put my hand on your leg and I'll say, I'll take this one, darling.
Uh-huh.
And I'll go, he's a fucking gay lord. And I don't mean it. I don't mean it like that.
Nothing to do with the eye.
I don't mean that. I don't mean it like that. I'm only paraphrasing things that I've heard.
We've heard he's the lord of gay.
And they went, what do you mean? I go, no, I don't mean he's a gay lord. I mean he's...
They call him Bent.
He's Bentley.
Okay.
Or her.
Yep, this is just one episode of our lives.
Or her.
Oh, huh? We don't know how they...
Or him, or her.
Or these people. We don't know, out of the rock and the tree, which one's which.
Who's mum? Who's dad? Who cares?
Doesn't matter. Don't tell me. Not listening. A few more years pass. University. Evidence.
University. And where do you think little Dulux would go to university? What would he or her study?
We established it's a he.
Or her.
Dulux is a he. All right. Fine. We're imposing this on it. He's a he. Dulux gets heavily into student activism. Too much so. And at local rallies, he is taken in by police for getting a bit too aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. Throwing eggs at the filth.
Who
using phrases like, I smell bacon, and I smell burnt toast.
Oink, oink.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the police people in the riot gear isn't having any of it. He whacks Dulux down with a what's it called?
Penis.
Yeah, with his penis. Which is how they do it in the future.
So they do it. They're space penises.
Because everyone needs to know what gender everyone is at this point. So
they're
we
space
all
dicks.
Just
or her.
Out.
Or her.
We'll just have them out. All right.
Or her.
The policeman.
Or her.
Takes Dulux to the police station. And puts him away. He takes off his helmet. And reveals...
Of his penis or of his...
He takes off both...
He circumcises himself.
Both helmets. His daily ritual is to circumcise himself, glue it back on for tomorrow. This policeman is Bentley.
No!
This is all just revenge.
Da 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 da!
But Dulux is left with the lesson, maybe I shouldn't stand up for what I believe in. And he carries that with him through his life.
Yeah. So what? He's reached his 30s.
He reached his 30s, yeah.
Maybe he comes to visit home one day.
It's about time.
Maybe one of us is ill.
We've been missing him.
Or her!
It's a him.
Or her!
At this point, I feel, again, narratively, because I missed part of his life being a teacher, that you have to get ill.
All right. I'm ill. What have I got?
What you will with.
What have I got?
What would you catch in real life?
Syphilis.
Syphilis. I didn't give you that. There was a strenuous part in our marriage...
That, we all went astray.
Yeah, that Dulux doesn't know about.
I'm not going to say who I had an affair with, but let's just say it's a character in the past that you've already met in this story, and maybe I wanted to get my rocks off.
Oh. So I'm at your bedside.
Or her.
Dulux comes home one day and says,
Papa.
Papa, daddy.
Because he still speaks like a little street urchin. Papa!
He didn't turn that school around.
No, it was a big mistake on our part. It was a big mistake on our part.
Should have just gone for traditional good school.
We should have just let the school be. It was in decent state.
Yep. But you're coughing away.
Is that my boy? Is that Mr. Carmichael?
Yes, Sean, he's over here. Come and take your papa's hand.
Or her.
Then Dulux comes, takes your hand.
My son.
Gives you a little kiss on the cheek, but it's like, it's too much slightly on your lips. Like, he kisses you on the cheek, but yeah. A bit of a corner of his lips is touching a corner of your lips. And you go, like, Is that intentional?
No,
and
we're
you
fine.
Just you log it for the future.
We log it for the future.
Yeah, just in case it needs to come up again.
Yeah. When you say it needs to keep up again.
You kiss him a little bit back.
You kiss him a little, yeah, with tongues.
Once you feel the corner.
Just a little bit of tongue.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of tongue. It's the modern world, I'm sorry. Or her, but it's the modern world.
And I say, Dulux, wash out your mouth. You'll get it. You'll
no, I won't. I won't. I go, my boy. Tell me, have you started your quest with the sword?
And she looks as you've never mentioned this sword again since I was 11.
And I say, well, a videotape was made with your father figure. And he gave you a sword and said you must complete your quest. You didn't think of doing any research yourself, boy?
No, Papa.
Wow, that school really didn't give you an inquisitive mind.
What is the quest, Papa?
Avenge me!
Do you die at this point?
No.
Okay, because I am not paying all of the bills. On two creative salaries, and then one of the creatives dies. Not going to happen, mate.
You're not a creative.
I could be one.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Surely you'd be eligible for a pension for your teaching you've done.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I was a teacher. I faked my death, which is why I've got so much money left. Okay. So you're fine, but you need avenging.
Yeah.
Dulux goes.
How long have we been talking for, by the way?
Doesn't matter. Dulux, this is improv. Dulux goes out with a sword.
Yes.
Okay. I think what we should do is just say he does the quest and he comes back, but we don't ever outline what the quest
yeah,
is.
Yeah, we don't really care what the quest is. He's done it. Or her.
We're really good at the domestic stuff. And then when it gets to this sci-fi fantasy bit, we're like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of boring, isn't it?
And then he comes back when he's...
Or her.
He comes back when he's 62.
Yeah.
And he's finally
or 69.
Found, he's finally found the love of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or her life.
Or his life. No, he's a him.
Okay.
You played your card.
I don't want to upset anyone.
And I'm going to play mine and say that he comes back with a love interest.
Yes.
Or two.
What?
He comes back with two love interests. And their ages are what, Sean? My card is that you have to determine what their ages are. So our son is 62.
7 and 3.
Okay. So, and what genders are we making these people?
One's male, one's female.
Okay.
Or female and male.
Okay, so he comes back with these 7 and 3 year olds. We go, oh, you've got children. And he says, in a way, I've got children.
I've got children. Mm-hmm. I'm boning these kids, Papa.
Okay. So now we, as a Sean and Elliot combo, need to learn how to evacuate this whole family dynamic. We need to go, I don't want in on this kid. I don't want this weird relationship happening. I don't really want to hang out with you anymore because you got syphilis from Iraq. And ever since then, you've been...
From Iraq or from Iraq?
Both.
Yeah, I fucked a rock in Iraq.
You took the rock to Iraq.
The rock to Iraq, which by this point is a flourishing economy and is a very peaceful place.
Oh, yeah, it's a lovely holiday destination.
Yeah. Or her.
So, the evacuation plan is this. We fake our deaths again. So, I'm faking my death for the second time. You're doing it for your first.
For my first.
But we hope that within this, Dulux, or her, and the kids... all just perish by accident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we just say that they do? Because this is... And then they do perish.
Yeah, because we leave a bath running. And then they die.
I think...
Is that the end of our relationship?
Yeah. We both kill ourselves. It's like Romeo and Juliet.
Wait, we actually kill ourselves after pretending to kill ourselves?
Romeo and Juliet. We fake our own death, so we have the opportunity to actually... do I actually die?
I think we shake hands, you kill yourself, and then I'm like, that was a weak handshake. And I'm so unsatisfied by that, I can't kill myself.
What, you're so unsatisfied by my weak handshake?
Yeah, I can't have my last handshake being like that. And then I just keep living. My punishment is being alive.
Yes, that seems like a terrible punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Elliot, I think we've really got this parenthood thing nailed.
I think we have. Seems easy.
Yeah, I don't know why these people are always struggling.
What's everyone whinging about?
Everyone was moaning on these, like, oh, my kids, there's so much work. It's not that much work. Hmm. Just fucking fake the death of one of the parents, have them come back and be like a sort of mentor figure for a quest.
Buy a sword.
Bully the kid. One of them has an affair. Kid comes back.
Yeah.
It's a paedophile now, but no one's perfect.
Oh, he's perfect. It's an illness, isn't it, being a paedophile?
Yeah, or her.
That is my favourite thing we've ever done.
Well, I'm sure we'll definitely keep it in the show.
Excellent.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you. You can probably hear the music underneath at this point, which means it's about to wrap up.
Yeah. Great episodes coming up. Keep up the support.
Keep it up. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Heal Your Wounds was presented by Sean McLaughlin. It was produced by Elliot Fallows, hosted by Audio Boom, and all music was by The Speckles. You can follow us on Twitter @WoundsPod.